I don't think that content creator is a hard job.
Controversial.
Content creation can be as easy or as hard as you make it.
Are you making like a decent income?
I'm not trying to like Mr. Beastify. I'm not a perfectionist with my content.
Your goal for this year is to reach 100,000 subscribers on YouTube.
And if I'm consistent on YouTube, I could give it a shot. I want to do content creation forever.
And you didn't think TikTok was right for you?
I thought it was the stupidest app. I'm going to be completely honest.
Clearly not the case. You've got 267,000 followers there.
Well, I always feel very confused when people refer to me as a TikToker.
Millions of views on those videos, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, millions of views.
Welcome back to the Creator Spotlight Podcast. Today, we are speaking with Kofi Yebwa, a creator and self-described Swiss Army knife. He does it all. Social media, video production, podcasting, writing, and his focus is sports video games and also sports and video games separately and more generally, which he covers both independently and as an engagement editor at Secret Base, which is a sports media company under the Vox umbrella. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, glad to be here. Of course. Before we get into some of the more technical details, I want to know like how you became such a sports person. Because I've become kind of a sports person just in the past couple of years. We'll get into that in a second. But yeah, what's your like, how have you fallen into like sports being so much of your life?
Well, I grew up an only child in North Carolina, and that was the main way. Sports was the main way for me to be involved, I guess, in terms of like meeting other people my age, especially
like playing sports
for sure. Because there weren't that many kids. There weren't any kids in our neighborhood, really. So it wasn't like a cul-de-sac kind of culture. It was more like a get signed up for this league. And, you know, I just gravitated towards sports my entire life. And then I realized that I wanted to work in sports when I was in seventh grade. And my parents, they were both engineers, so they didn't really understand that realm, but they decided to like just help in any way possible. So, yeah, I've always seen myself working in sports in some capacity. I went to school for broadcast journalism with a track in sports at Maryland. And then I didn't want to do play-by-play broadcasting anymore after my freshman year. So I decided to pivot into sports social media, see where that goes. And
wait,
so
real quick, in that program is like when you figured out you didn't want to do play-by-play broadcasting. Is that kind of like what that program would have been training you for?
It wasn't a specific track in terms of a curriculum. The thing about the University of Maryland is that they're really good about encouraging you to take opportunities on campus. It's more there is a curriculum, but they also really heavily push that you should get as many opportunities and take as many swings as possible on campus. So what I was able to do was join the campus radio station and then also join the campus radio broadcast crew my freshman year. And I was able to call radio for baseball, radio for soccer, radio for basketball. And I realized how much work and effort gets put into all of that and preparation as well. And it's not like I was opposed to doing that. It's just that the job that I really wanted to do outside of like when I graduated college, I had to realize that there was so much competition for those jobs. And
I feel like there's only like, I mean, I'm probably wrong, but there's only like a few hundred of those jobs, right?
Yeah, a few hundred of those jobs in terms of the jobs that I actually wanted to do. And when you get to looking at the grand scheme of it, the odds of even being considered for with the job that you want are pretty low. So I decided to pivot away from that because I was okay. I knew that I was okay. I could do the job. But I was alongside someone else that was like way better than me one game. And I was just like, okay, this is not my avenue. It's not my destiny. And the guy that I was alongside, he now does a play-by-play baseball for a Major League Baseball team on the radio.
There you go.
he found his calling and I have found mine somewhere else. So
describe your calling. Like, what is it? If you know, whatever, let's say at a party, I'm like, well, what do you do? You're in sports media. What do you do? Like, how do you describe it to people?
I describe it as sports and video games and then sports video games. So that's how I kind of do it, because I do talk about other video games. I play other video games and whatnot, but my main focus is sports video games, but I also do sports, which is, I think, two different areas. I don't think that anyone is going to be like, you do sports and then you also do sports video games. I think those are two different separate worlds, even though they have a lot of overlap. So I kind of say that I work in that realm, whether it's talking about sports or sports video games, either on my YouTube channel or the Secret Base YouTube channel. And I just try to find stuff that I'm interested in and make other people interested in it. I think that that's my, like, my job, and that's what I really love to do.
I like that description. That's kind of describes how I try to approach this series too. Like, find things I'm interested in and make other people interested in them. Like, I don't know, try to communicate like why this thing is compelling, like what you might not have noticed, etc. Do you think of yourself in terms of like your medium? I mean, like we said, you know, Swiss Army Knife, you do so many things. Do you think of yourself first and foremost as like being a long form video or YouTube creator, a writer in some way? Like, what's your main medium that you think?
I think I would consider myself a long form creator. I think I'm pretty new to the short form realm, if I had to say so myself. I always feel very confused when people refer to me as a TikToker or something like that, because it's not that I am like, oh, a TikTok. I'm not saying it like that. I'm saying the fact that I feel like to be considered a TikToker, that would, I think that would be like my first platform, like the first platform I got started on and then branched out in my content creation. I feel like I've done a lot of long form YouTube content creation, even though that TikTok was my biggest platform. I don't consider it. I consider YouTube to be where I got my start in terms of making this content. So I want to say that I do specialize in long form, but I do appreciate the beauty of short form, and I'm able to intertwine both, honestly, because I don't think it changes how I personally do my workload, honestly. Yeah. It's usually like I have these ideas. If it's 1 to 3 minutes, that's fine. If I can talk about it for 20 minutes, then that's fine in and of itself. I don't think it's ever boxed my way of thinking. I mean, I don't feel myself, if I was a short form creator, I wouldn't feel like, oh, this video is 6 minutes, I'm just not going to do the video idea at all. I think that with both realms, I'm able to do all of these ideas. And if the video is 3 minutes, it's fine. If it's 30 minutes, that's also fine too. I'm just more excited about being able to do the idea in general.
Yeah, it's your communicator. You made a video like 5-6 days ago, I think, as we record this, called How a TikTok Ban Will Change Sports Media. A few things in there I want to, this is one of your, I forget if it was either 13 minutes or 20 minutes. I wish I'd written that down, but it was one of these longer ones. I really enjoyed it. There's like a few things in there I want to touch on. One, talking about like, you know, you're a long form creator, not a TikTok creator, you know, whatever that thinking is. You say in the video that you were skeptical about TikTok when you first tried it, I think 4 years ago. You come from long form and journalism, and you didn't think TikTok was right for you, which, again, clearly not the case. You've got 267,000 followers there, 11.1 million likes. You've done well there. I don't know. The process of like getting over that first, like, I don't know what I'm doing, or like, I don't know if this is for me. Like, I'm sure it was kind of like you just made videos and then you made more videos and then you kept making videos. But in as much as there was some kind of like mental getting over that hump of like, is this like, I don't know, like, what was that process?
I think my process was, at the time I was at Secret Base working on Fumble Dimension. So I think that when I first joined TikTok, I was more of a consumer than an actual creator. I didn't get on TikTok to make more videos. I got on TikTok to understand the platform at first, because at Secret Base at the time, there wasn't really an incentive it wasn't really a focus on short form video like there is now, even. So I just got on and being like, okay. And I didn't really see that much sports content personally on my For You page for a long time. So I kind of just sat there for a couple of months. And then I started making videos. It got more fun. And then I was like, actually, let me make this about sports, which I think is a kind of a mistake for my page. But in terms of the fact where it's like TikTok kind of operates and like you, TikTok, I think, is the hardest platform for you to actually change your niche. It takes months and even years for TikTok to change your niche.
Well, I noticed your recent videos haven't hit really those heights that you have historically. Like it seems like those 11.1 million likes really are weighted a little bit more to your past on there.
I think it's weighted a lot towards the food stuff. In terms of all of that. And the thing is like, oh, I don't really make food content. So that's what I've thought about it. So I don't really see that main page. I have a separate page for sports, which I like kind of want to focus more on because I think that it's just too much of a niche to switch over. Also, the TikTok algorithm being more focused on search engine optimization kind of also, I feel like it's weird because I make content that isn't.
You're not often prioritizing. Searched. You're not making it for the algorithm. You're making what you want to make because it's what you want to make.
Exactly. I make the kind of content where if someone stumbles upon it, they'll be fine. Like my example is that if I made a video about NBA 2K6 specifically, no one is really searching for that specific version of NBA 2K. However, if it shows up on their feed, they're going to be like, oh, okay, yeah, this is what I'm interested. That's what I make TikTok, like, that's what I make my content about and for. And so I feel like with the creator search insights, it's like no one is searching for that at the time. So it's always, so I've kind of like steered away from TikTok in terms of making, like, I'm not really like dependent on the creator fund. Like, I'm not making that much money off of TikTok in terms of the fact where it's like, well, yeah,
how do you feel about the you made this video about the ban, how TikTok will change sports media, then the ban lasts for 12 hours. How do you feel like in the wake of that kind of false ban?
I feel it makes me really upset, honestly, because I feel like there's a contingency that doesn't understand the content creator economy and how big something like this really affects the people
like
that
the hundreds
make the
of thousands
content
of jobs, and
right?
People's incomes, yeah.
Because TikTok has one of the best creator programs in terms of like how much money you can make for like short form content and stuff like that, right? Because Instagram, like, even when I had the Reels bonus, right, it wasn't like TikTok was able to fund creators full time. Like people's full time jobs are at risk, and I wasn't making enough money on TikTok to go full time on TikTok, but that doesn't mean that I want livelihoods to be messed with and businesses to be messed with in terms of finding clientele and all of that stuff. So it really just like makes me upset because people go like, just go to insert platform here. I'm like, I don't think you guys really understand how much people are able to, and not even just like on the bigger scale. There are a lot of people that are like, I was able to pay off my car. I was able to pay off my student loans, where it's like, it's not their full-time job, but it's a nice like side hustle thing where they weren't on TikTok expecting to become this creator or whatnot, but they were able to do something good for them financially. And through the fact that a lot of people in their audience are watching them for free still. So I think it was just honestly the best of both worlds.
Hey, if you're enjoying this episode with Kofi, make sure you follow the podcast so you don't miss next week's episode. We release a new interview every Thursday. I appreciate your support. Enjoy the rest of the episode. You do a video like once every week or a couple weeks, kind of. What's your kind of output there?
I think for my channel, I try to do once or twice a week. Mm-hmm. There'll be times where if it depends on the workflow at my main job, If I'm like really, really swamped, then I'm like, okay, then this definitely goes second. But I think I've been able to do it that way because my videos on my channel are way lower lift.
Yeah.
Than the videos in Secret Base. Like Secret Base doing some videos.
Green screen, your research, of course, probably some script, and then you're in the green screen and you're chatting on the mic, and it's not a ton of like, I mean, they're edited, but it's not like heavily, oh, here's this animation, etc.
Yeah, and I hire and I work with an editor on my channel.
Yeah. Shout out Hambo, correct?
Shout out Hambo, yeah. Shout out Hambo. He's been very, very helpful for the channel upkeep, because that was one of my main things as well, is that it's like I want to, like, you know, YouTube is, content creation is all about being consistent, and when you're not at a point where you can disappear for months on end, you got to be consistent, and he's been very helpful with that. But yeah, all of the videos on my channel, as I make this right now, I do not write for them.
Mm-hmm. You're off the
whereas dome. Off the dome, but at the same time, I think I take enough takes for me. If I really want to get my point across and really want to explain, I'll just be like, okay, I'm just going to say this one again, but then I'm like, then that's the better thing. But yeah, Secret Base videos are way more scripted, way more
prepped. Wait, we should talk about your day job. So what I know from your LinkedIn, you've been there for 8 years, SB Nation / Secret Base, which is crazy. 8 years, I've never been to a job for 8 years, that's for sure. on LinkedIn, your job description says you're in charge of Secret Base's social media footprint, which includes Twitter, TikTok, and Twitch, and your daily tasks. This is so job, such a resume vibe. Daily tasks include turning long-form content into more digestible content for other platforms, which is a lot of work and hard to get right. But a few questions here. First one, what does a normal week in your day job look like? And is that correct in my stolen description from your LinkedIn, or is it a little different?
It's correct. I think that it just switches from week to week, honestly, because at the same, like, it takes from two of my jobs. Like, I first got SB Nation, Secret Base. I was a social media producer for 2.5 years. So I feel like I kind of wear two hats at Secret Base, where I am working on my own video projects, but at the same time,
if stuff needs to be pushed out. I've watched a bunch of your videos. You got to. Anyways.
But yeah, so definitely, you know, I get up, I wake up, I see if there's anything that needs to be pushed out, if there's anything that we've posted, right? Because when SB Nation video turned into Secret Base, I went to our then editor-in-chief and was like, hey, we should probably have our own accounts for these. Because if not, then what would be the point of the rebrand if we're just... And so I was like, I kind of stepped up and was like, I'll run those accounts.
Yeah.
Because I was like, okay, I'll do them, because
someone
has to. And I have the experience from working in the past. And now, like, I'll just do them. So yeah, that's what I've been kind of doing. And Secret Base has really been great at letting me experiment with stuff where I know that Secret Base's YouTube channel is very powerful and stuff, but I'm also a little kind of
on those videos, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, millions of views, and we have a great team at Secret Base. There's, I think, like 14 of us that work on the channel, and I think that my job, honestly, is that whenever there's a new platform or whatnot, I should be like, we should have a place on it.
Boots on the ground right away.
Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, when Blue Sky first launched, I was like, okay, Secret Base should probably have this. Or, you know, where it's like, hey, should we put these clips of our YouTube channel on TikTok? Because we tell evergreen stories. Why not just post them everywhere, everywhere we can? Because there's so many places to post short form video. We should, like, there's no downside for us publishing our own content everywhere. So that's kind of what I handle on the day to day when I'm not working on my own video projects.
All right. What's your process, in as much as there is, like, I don't know, defined process? Maybe it's like ways you think about it for converting like these long form videos into repurposing this long form content into digestible content for their platforms. Because that's something that I do sometimes, and it's hard. I mean, with the podcast, I have an editor, shout out Tom, who
shout out Tom,
he's listening to this, who does that. But with my newsletter, right, it's like, oh well, how do I like translate this like long form essay into like a couple snippets I put on Twitter or whatever, and it's hard. So I mean, as somebody who's, this has been such a part of your work for like more than half a decade, what are some of the ways you make sure that it works?
I think my thing, my thought process for long form is that, yes, I'm making one YouTube video, and but I'm talking about many different things, right? Mm-hmm. So for Secret Base, when we talk about a story, we'll do like maybe a beef history. But when you can break it down and be like, how many different stories are being told in this one video? And I kind of just chop it up that way, where it's like, if this story can, and I tell the people that are making their videos on this, where it's like, if there is a, what we call not a one-off, but if there is like a part of the video that can stand by itself, yeah, then give it a shot, honestly. But it has to, I think for, it has to be a conclusion. There has to be like a start. A
self-contained story. Like, yeah, it's like a little eddy in a stream, kind of.
Yeah, I think that's 1,000% that's like how I kind of see it, where I'm like, oh, this could actually stand on its own. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's just post it, see what happens.
That makes a lot of sense. I somebody shared a snippet of my newsletter once, or not once, like last week, that was very much that, and I didn't really think about it in that way, but that makes a lot of sense. So another thing, you tweeted pretty recently, it's a classic Simpsons screenshot where it's Bart playing 3 chess games at once in a public park, and he's just like, this is a screenshot, but in the actual video, he's just like rapidly moving between them, and I think he loses all the games, and it's just like, what are you doing? But your text for it was how it feels having to put your short form content on 4 new platforms just in case, which, you know, I think it only got a few hundred likes. Very relatable. Social media manager Twitter should have picked this up and wild with it. A question there is like, are there any platforms that you just are, you know, they are not on your radar right now? You're like, that's a waste of time. Have you stopped playing any of these chess games?
So TikTok, they came up with Lemonade, right? Mm-hmm. Now Lemonade, I guess I it's like their photo for, I don't know. It's like, it's like another app where you're able to actually transfer your TikTok followers onto it. But the thing about Lemonade is that I had been on Lemonade for months before, and when I got on that app was more for like fashion. It was more for recommendations. It was more for like if you want tips or whatever. So when people started migrating over Lemonade in terms of like this ban or whatnot, Lemonade does not have a sports category.
Yeah.
So as someone that just
no demand,
really thrives in sports content, if there's no category for it, I honestly do not focus on it, because it's like, what if this, like, and the thing is that, so I use a program called, have you heard of repurpose.io?
Actually have not.
So repurpose.io is a website where you're able to, if you post on, if it's like if this then that, but for like platforms. So if I'm able to post a reel on Instagram, I could post it to TikTok, YouTube Shorts, LinkedIn. I could save it to a Google Drive. I could do all of these chain reactions. And so that's how I've been able to like keep up with like posting on all of these different platforms, by just making it easier for myself. I'm a big fan of like automation, honestly, yeah, where it's like, I think that one of the hardest things about being a content creator, in terms of like, I don't think that content creator is a hard job, but I think that I think that there are tough things in terms of the fact where, if you have this one video, if you have this one short and you have to upload it to 10 different platforms, yeah, separately, that can get very demotivating. That's such
like a waste of your time if you're exactly, like, actually just doing it all manually.
Yeah. And I think that, actually, I'll take this back. Content creation can be as easy or as hard as you make it.
Yes, I agree with that.
I will say that. I think that the way that I do it personally is I really try to make a lot of things simple for myself. But I know that there's a lot of like really high quality, high edited, high color graded that stuff.
You could spend 20 hours writing every one of your videos, but you do it off the dome and they still get thousands of views. So it's working for you.
Yeah, I think I'll take that completely back. I can't believe I just said that. But
we're going to clip just that. We're going to clip you saying that.
I think that there feels a constant need to be on all of these platforms and constant need to honestly feel like to be on them on the ground level, too.
Yeah.
Where and I think I learned that from Vine, because when Vine first launched, I thought it was the stupidest app. I'm gonna be completely honest.
Were we
so
young?
I was a junior senior in high school, and I was 6 second videos. And then I see that a lot of people, a lot of Viners that got it on the ground level were able to make like very good careers out of that, and be able to turn that into different platforms if they were wary of different platforms, stuff like that. So whenever there is a new platform, I'll make an account in just so I can have my name. I think that that's very important. But
you've got the just at Kofi on a few of these.
Yes. I think that that's kind of been important just to have, because you never know when a platform is the perfect setup for you. Mm-hmm. And so I've always learned from Vine where I'm like, even if the platform at face value sounds like it's not going to be for you, you might as well.
Well, TikTok for you, case in point.
And then TikTok, I thought exactly where I was like,
question. Yeah. What's your favorite and least favorite platforms as a creator? One. And then if it's different as a consumer.
As a creator, I think both are YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Your honestly. Favorite and least favorite as a creator?
Oh, no. I thought you meant favorite as a creator and consumer.
Okay. Yeah. No. Perfect. Perfect. So YouTube is favorite as both creator and consumer. What about least favorite as creator and consumer?
Least favorite platform as a creator. As a creator, least favorite platform currently is probably Twitter. What it is now. So as consumer, it's Twitter as it is now, is now, in terms of the fact where it's like
you've had enough steak ads.
It's that, and then it's the steak ads, and then it's the fact that your videos are reaching, your tweets are not reaching your intended audience sometimes, in terms of the fact where before they added the For You stuff about Twitter. It felt like when something went viral, it was more organic, where you'd be like, okay, you tweeted out, your followers would see it, interact with it, they follow you for a reason, bigger accounts would take it. Whereas this, I could tweet out something and it has 100 likes. I can go to sleep and wake up and it has 50,000. And I'm like, okay, where do you guys all come from? Because it never really felt exponential. It felt more linear back in the day.
A recent tweet where this happened for you is I don't remember what school it was. Let's say it was University of Oregon. It wasn't, but it was this guy. And the original tweet was a photo of him. And then the text was like, the coach says that the team is going to be more aggressive this year. And you just quote tweeted like, I believe him. And I saw that organically. I was like, this is funny because the guy looks aggressive. And that's, I don't know. But anyways, that's a tweet where it happened with.
Exactly. Like the tweet, it was like, okay, gradual. And then I go to sleep and I go look back and it's like at 35,000. But again, I do have my notifications turned off all these platforms anyway. But
I recommend that for everyone, by the way. I don't have big followings on the social platforms, but I turned off notifications for everything but my phone calls and messages recently. That's the only way to live.
Yeah, I'll periodically check in every once in a while. I'll check in on a YouTube comments of a Secret Base video. Mm-hmm. I'll check in on that to see if I like made any mistakes or errors or whatnot. But other than that, I'm not going to like be out here like reading everything.
Yeah. It would waste your time, you know, and grind down your brain. But the comments thing is actually a good point. I'm always curious to ask people about their relationships with their audience, whether that's something where, like, let's say on TikTok, maybe you're engaging in the comments, or on YouTube, you've got regular viewers who are, you know, always like writing things, whatever. Do you have much of a relationship with your audience as such?
I think that I have a great relationship with the community. And I think that kind of gets reflected by like the fact that I still enjoy making content this long into my career.
Yeah.
In terms of the fact where it's like, I love making what I do, but at the same time, I'm not actively out here putting stuff in the world and receiving a lot of negative comments in terms of just like,
I watched last night, I watched your, where you just go through every NBA team's logo history and you're like, I think this one sucks. This one's good. I like this one because of this. It's just kind of like very chill. And like, we're having a conversation, except I can't talk.
I stay away from talk. Like, I don't really try. I try to stay out of the, you know how their channel is that like talk, just talk. Thrive in the drama aspect and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I'm
just
that's like, the business model is to create controversy and to have opinions that they know people are going to be like, you're so, I mean, well, case in point, I, a newsletter in August, I interviewed somebody who writes a newsletter about women's soccer in the States. And I titled, and it's funny too, cause he's British, but he uses the word soccer. So I titled the newsletter, "It's Soccer, Not Football." And I got more replies to that email than maybe to that newsletter than maybe ever before, of people being like, it's football, you fucking moron, like, et cetera, et cetera. And it was effective, right? Yeah. I don't always do that, but I don't know. The controversy is a good business model sometimes.
I think, it's a great, like, I think about that for titles, but I'm not trying to like mislead someone with a title, or I'm not trying to like, I don't know you weren't saying that either. You're trying to, you were just trying to like spark up friendly.
It was
like,
a little jab,
you know?
Yeah. So, okay, speaking of business models, let's talk about money for a second. You don't have to disclose all your finances, but I'm always curious to get like some ballpark impressions. You have a full-time job, but you do spend a lot of time working on, let's say, Kofi as creator work. Actually, at first, how much time do you think you spend in a given week doing like your content and all the surrounding work?
I think for my content on YouTube, I try to keep it as simple as possible. In terms of the fact that I've done a new filming process where like I start, instead of just filming blank on a green screen, I started putting the stuff I'm talking about behind me just in OBS.
You can see it as on I'm screen.
Yeah.
Point to it.
So I started doing that. So instead of like having me or my editor try to find stuff that like fits that thing, I just put it up there then. And then
do you make a predetermined slideshow or something, or are you like stop it, you're like typing up the thing, pulling it up, and then you're cutting out that part?
I since I never know where my videos end up, I record and then I'll like pause the record and then I'll pull it up and then I'll do it again and then that's how I kind of operate off like in terms of I think that I've found a great pocket for my recent videos, in terms of the fact where I film like that. It's my process, but it's not at the point where like we're doing a lot. We're keeping it very simple. You know, have the green screen. The green screen works wonders, honestly, you know. And being able to send that over to the editor and being like, hey, I don't need that many fancy transition. I don't need fancy transitions. I don't need like graphics just or whatnot. Just clean it up, make it simple. Mm-hmm. Now, down the line, if I have more of a budget to be able to change the process, I'm not opposed to it.
Okay, wait. Before we get into there, so budget now, like are you making a decent, you're making enough to to sustain an editor helping you out. Are you making like a decent income from across all this, or like, are you
on my own?
Yeah.
On my own, I'm doing okay. Like, I'm not like at the point where, I've always asked my audience, I've said, as long as I have my full-time job, I'm not going to like ask you to like sustain or match.
Pony up the $10 Patreon fee, whatever.
I have a Patreon, but I tell them that the Patreon is just to like cover editing stuff. I call it an editor fund, honestly.
I like that.
Where it's like, right now, the more that I can be able to set aside for like editors or whatnot, the more consistent the content will be, because I do not my full time job pays me enough to where it's like that's fine. Yeah. But everything else is like the TikTok creator fund for me was like nice extra stuff to save stuff like that. And the Patreon is like nice extra stuff for like, hey, because sometimes last year there were some months where I'm like, okay, I can afford these videos edited. I have to scale back on editing, whatever. But I think it's where the videos are doing a little bit. It was kind of like an investment, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
Seeing like if these videos,
perform better.
Mm-hmm. And so now, like, seeing that, hey, it works, it pays off, it's good. I think, like, last year, for the first year, I was not breaking. There were a couple of videos that I didn't break even on, for in terms of, like, editor funds and, like, how much that video made. But I think recently it's been better. So it's like, oh, okay, now that these videos are paying for itself, and then it's like fine, I like that.
Ways that they are paying for themselves, so you have creator fund, ad revenue share on YouTube, and then some brand deals. I know Elgato is a sponsor of yours. They're in your bios. So is there anything else? It's the brand deals, the revenue shares. Which one is more effective for you these days?
I have to re-talk with Elgato because it's the start of the new year. But so the thing about the home field deal is that I, for a long time, I just did the discount code thing with home field because for a long time, 4 years ago, a lot of people got furloughed from SB Nation Secret Base. And home field apparel, they raised like $90,000 for all the people that got furloughed and stuff like that. So I went to the brand and I messaged their president, and I said, hey, whatever you guys need promoted, I'll do it for free. So for a long time, I promoted a lot of stuff, just like, send me the gear, I'll promote it. So I didn't really take money off of that. It was more like just a good relationship. And then this year earlier, I was like, hey, do you guys want ad reads on the channel? And then I had that as like a, my rate changes a lot, but I always give them hey, you guys, it's whatever you guys send, it's fine, and then I'll charge like a little bit here and there, and stuff like that. So yeah, not all of my brand deals. Some of my brand deals are like I just really rock with the company. So
yeah, I mean, ideally that's it's easier when that's the case. Let's say. So speaking of like, if you had more budget, you were starting to get into that earlier. I wanted to ask. Let's say suddenly you're given $50,000, and you have to spend it on Kofi Media.
What would you do on a video?
Not necessarily on one video. Someone gives you $50,000. It's like, here's a no strings attached investment in Kofi Media. I keep calling it Kofi Media. I don't know if you have a name for it. But what would you do? How would you game that out? Is it like, oh, now I'm going to produce this many more videos, I'm going to hire this person, I'm going to buy this camera? Like, you know, what would you do with that? If you, let's say you have 6 months to spend.
I think that I think I have enough cameras. Honestly, I have enough
like four different microphones and across some of your videos too.
Yeah. So the Elgato partnership has been great because they send me whatnot, you know. That's they nice. Send me the gear. So that kind of gets like taken care of often. I think if I had 50K on to spend on like my YouTube channel, I would take a risk and I would focus on like traveling content, honestly. I just put it a lot towards travel, so like it still keeps like the video cost down in terms of like the editing and stuff, but I'm not trying to like Mr. Beastify edit and all that. Style
like,
editing,
you have some of these series, it's like short form where you like it's like food with sports, whatever, where you like go to a sports bar and like
yeah
what's that one called,
Friends in Sports Places. That's I think for that if I had that budget, I would probably just like hire a friend in town and be like, hey, do you want to just record it for me? Like, I feel weird asking like friends to record content.
Cause it's work. For, you do it for work.
Yeah. Cause it's like, I, it's like one of those things where it's like, I want to properly compensate you if this is the work that, so I've held off on that for now, where like I will wear, I'll either bring my Osmo Pocket or my what's it called? The Ray-Ban Metas. I'll wear those. I bring both of those with me everywhere I go, honestly. And I think I would focus more on traveling content, where if I could go around and talk about stuff or talk to people, I think that's where I want to be in my life. Either that, or I would go travel to different video game stores and like retro video game stores and like just see what they have. Honestly, there's a whole treasure trove of ideas that I have explored.
Do some kind of Criterion Collection type, like Criterion Closet type things in video game stores.
Absolutely. I think that that's kind of where I would go next in terms of things, because I don't think that I need, I'm not someone that really, I'm not a perfectionist with my content, and I'm not really a production value person right now. In terms of, I don't need a drone, right? I don't need special effects on my videos. I don't need all of that.
You could really break the ground and like be at a live sports game and have a drone filming you reacting to the game in real time, and you're in the stands.
I just like that. That also just doesn't like that. Those kind of videos do not match my energy as a creator either. So I know those things about myself, and I think that that's really important that I know that. But yeah, I think the more and more I grow my own YouTube channel, I think the more and more risks I can take in terms of just like, what if I did this? What if I did that? And so that's what I'm really excited for. And it's one of the things that I'm like, really, I've really been patient about, where it's not like, you know, I set goals for myself, but the thing is that, YouTube, I want to do content creation forever.
Yeah.
Real
question here. Do you want to do it independently? Or is that like your goal, or do you like, cause I've talked to various people. Some people are like, are independent and they're figuring it out, and they're stressed but they love it. Some people I've talked to, it's like a thing they do on the side to like it may be a journalist who uses it to increase their profile and write about things they want to do. And I'm thinking of one person I interviewed who, she was making like 1500 most months through subscriptions, and she's like, that's, I mean, it could be higher, but like I don't need it to be my full-time thing. So my question to you is like, do you see a world or like aspire to do just this and be fully independent, or do you kind of like the balance between being full-time and being part of a team and then also doing your own thing?
I love the balance. You know, I think that, you know, I've been at SB Nation for 8 years, and I feel incredibly blessed, especially in the sports media industry, to have a full-time job where I'm able to just have this much creative control. So I think that it's something that I do not take for granted. And it's something that I recognize where I like being a part. It's like, it's the thing is, like, I like how well respected Secret Base is from a content standpoint and as a YouTube channel standpoint. And that's something that I never will. I as long as they'll have me, I would like to be there. You know, it's one of those kind of things where, you know, where I really have an attachment to the work that they've made and like the work that I've made and not just the work that I've made, but the other videos that are on the channel. It's really good. It's really fun to be a part of that. I also like the fact that I've been able to do my own thing as well, where some videos I'll make where there are videos I make where I'm like, I don't think this is not, these are not Secret Base videos, honestly, in my opinion. These are more my videos of me just like talking and whatnot. And, you know, I think that for like, I like that dynamic. If things change in the future, then we will like adapt. You know, I'm not really a non-adapter of, you know, so I mean,
you work at social media, you can't be.
You can't, exactly. You literally can't. So it's one of those things where, you know, I like where I am, honestly. It's like, it's my being able to work on a YouTube channel for 5 years and be able to do my own thing as well. I think that being able to do my own thing has been really important, not just like in terms of just having my own thing, but it keeps me going.
Yeah.
Honestly,
it's like a steam valve.
Yeah, it's a steam valve because I think I just have too many ideas, honestly, in terms of like, I want to talk about this, and then I feel like if I was just like working on one thing for like one project and I wasn't allowed to do other like stuff like that, I think that then I'd be frustrated. So
yeah,
it's been really great to be able to have the best of both worlds. And yeah, I absolutely love it.
That's nice. Curveball question, a little off topic. What's your least favorite sports league? I think your favorite's the NBA is kind of what I've picked up from
least favorite sports league.
Yeah, in any sport, any country.
I don't think I have one. I don't have a least favorite sport. I don't think I have a least favorite sport league because I am someone that is like also I'm the type of person that watches the Olympics, but not for the main sports. Like there are so many opportunities in the world that I get to watch handball. Right. Yeah, you know, yeah. So I'm one of those type of people where it's like I'll watch Olympics because I want to watch archery at 4 a.m. So I don't really have a least favorite sports league in terms of like I'm not someone that's like, hey, you're watching this, turn it off. I'm not that person. So
no, I should have known. Do you have the only sport I really watch, like I said earlier on, I've become like a big soccer football watcher after the 2022 World Cup. So I'll watch like the Premier League, mainly Champions League. It's on right now. Actually, as soon as this ends, I'm going to check the score, see if Arsenal, I'm an Arsenal guy. We were, 2 minutes in, we went 1-0 up against Dinamo Zagreb. I got on here at halftime. So we'll see if that holds.
Oh, no.
Do you have a soccer team, football team as it were?
Liverpool.
I got that impression. I saw like some little snippet of in your content somewhere. So lucky you. Great year you're having. anyways. In your TikTok ban YouTube video, you said that your goal for this year is to reach 100,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is a great goal. Is there anything in particular where you're like adding to your process or something you're gonna try to do that, or is it kind of just stay the course and you're feeling confident?
I think it's kind of just stay the course because last year when I started the year, I had like maybe like 15,000 and it got to 50 plus. And I was like, oh, Jesus. Okay. Because that was.
How long have you been doing it? How long have you been doing the YouTube?
So I've had this channel for probably 7 years, right?
Yeah.
So I made this channel because when I started at SB Nation, I was on social media and I realized that I went to school for broadcast journalism. I have these video skills, but I have nowhere to put it right now. You know, I was like, when I was at SB Nation, I was doing like making graphics. I was making, I was tweeting out games, live tweeting out articles and stuff like that. But I was realizing like, I'm not really able to make my own videos right now. And I was trying to be on the video team, I was like, I really don't have any proof of concept right now, besides my like senior project, which is what. So I started the YouTube channel for a while, and it did, there are some videos that I'm like, oh, those are actually like one of my most popular videos on my channel still views wise is like a Jeopardy video. It's a deep dive on Ken Jennings.
Yeah.
That I made like 5 years ago.
Evergreen content, ago, like, baby.
5 or 6. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, okay. Well, but then when I joined Secret Base and the team, I stopped making YouTube videos on my channel for like 2 or 3 years. It's like a long time between that. And then as I was like, I was sitting like last year, I would make a video here and there. I did Twitch streaming for a while. But I didn't do the Twitch streaming where I'm like Twitch stream, turn it into a YouTube video. I didn't do all that.
Yeah.
So then I was like, let me actually stop, put the Twitch streaming aside, and then let's focus on making these like videos on the NBA or making whatever. And the Pistons were really bad last year, which is unfortunately as a Pistons fan, that kind of like spearheaded a lot of people coming to my channel and stuff. And I was like, oh no, I didn't want to be.
Wait. When you say a lot of people, were they Pistons fans?
I think they're Pistons fans, but there are some Pistons fans, but I think a lot of it was mostly a bunch of people that, when a team is bad in the league, like the league media doesn't really cover it that often.
Yeah.
I think that as someone that was watching all the games, it was just some place where like people can be like, oh, he's watching the games. He's right. He's here to tell you like how bad it is.
Like Arsenal, Liverpool. I read The Athletic a lot. That's where that's like a lot of my sports media consumption. It's like Arsenal, Liverpool, City, whatever. So much content. But you're like Southampton, even Crystal Palace. You're not getting near as much the volume of coverage day to day.
You're gonna have to go somewhere else for that.
You're gonna have to go to Kofi.
I know. Ziv about Southampton. Yeah. Look, I wouldn't be opposed. But I think that through that I was like, oh, if I'm consistent on YouTube, you know, I could give it a shot. And it'll be different content than my Secret Base content, but at the same time, I've always wanted to be I've always wanted to be a YouTuber, whether it's from like on Secret Base or with my own thing, and being able to do both is great. So I've been enjoying it, and the 100,000 thing is just like, I was like 50,000 could happen, and I'm like very surprised by like how fast it was able to grow.
Yeah.
So I think 100,000, even like, it's a lofty goal, and it's like literally double my YouTube subscriber base. But
you more than doubled last year, so
yeah, I know, which still shocks me, but I think it's a good goal to have, honestly.
Yeah,
especially because, cool. and I'm not in a rush because it's like I say I want to keep doing content creation forever. Like I want to be like still 70 doing like vlogs of the retirement home that I'm in or something like that. I don't know. But I feel like there's always going to be something to create in my life.
Yeah. So. Deep dive. Who was Mo Salah?
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. I'd be doing that back in like 40 years from now. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Cool. I think that's a perfect place to end it. And if you're listening on YouTube or otherwise, go subscribe to Kofi so he can hit 100,000 subscribers. What would you like to plug?
You could follow the Secret Base YouTube channel. Secret Base. You can follow my channel. It's Kofi, KOFIE. You can follow me on TikTok and Twitch, Kofi Y, KOFIEWHY. And then you can follow my Instagram, Kofi Yeboah, KOFIEYEBOAH.
Hit him up. Thank you for coming on. This has been the Creator Spotlight Podcast. I will see you next week.